coming up on Thunder Pop.
And this is the 125th episode of the Thunder Pop podcast. It is May 2020, the year 2020. And in the year 2020, sitting in front of me on the computer screen is the one and only
Jazz One.
One's up. Here to bring cheer and joy and not necessarily the joyous of times, but he's here to bring us love, joy that he's the best at bringing. Coming to us via Skype directly into the Thunderpop Dome. And I'll tell you what, Jazz, the first month, you know, we've been doing these on Skype, obviously, to respect social distancing. And I probably started a little bit ahead of some of the other broadcasters. And in our case, my new casters. But the first month was okay because I'd done Skypes over the years with the podcast. So I wasn't foreign to it. Like, it wasn't totally unusual. But the first month was okay. You don't have to clean up the house, you know. You can kind of, people aren't coming over. And then, you know, as we got into the second month and finally into May, started feeling kind of lonely over here. Started feeling kind of lonely. The social distancing aspect as well. Yeah, so I miss you, man. I guess what I'm trying to say, I miss you. And we did all these kind of new things with the studio, and I have been kind of all alone here and not even been able to share it with anybody.
And the Thunderpop Dome is a fortress of solitude.
Nice. Well, in this 125th episode, we've been doing a lot of shows about things that were shut down, the movie industry being shut down, film festivals being shut down, filmmakers being shut down in the production. And I was like, we got to get to doing some things that are sort of more uplifting and positive, because I'm getting depressed from my own podcast. So I was like, we're going to shift gears for the next couple of episodes and try to look on more of a bright side of things. And this episode, we're going to talk about fun shows to binge watch if you're still at home. And some people have started to go back into the world little by little, trickling out into the world, some more than others. Other people are still decided they want to stay home and quarantine. And there's, of course, our essential workers that they have no choice. They've got to be out there on the front lines, as they say. But, you know, we're kind of going to, in our household, I think our target month is we're going to wait till June and then kind of see how things are going in June. As far as trying to go back to maybe getting back into the world a little bit. I mean, we go on walks, we go to the park, we do those things. But we try to do curbside for grocery shopping, and we're social distancing mostly, wearing masks when we go out. Got my Darth Vader ready to go. My Darth Vader ventilator mask. I see you have yours back there in the background, ready to go. So, but anyway, we're talking about favorite binge watch shows in this episode 125th for the pandemic. Our favorite binge watches during the pandemic. And so if you're still at home, these are some shows that maybe you can enjoy, or maybe you have already enjoyed and like to hear us talk about them. We'll try to keep them spoiler-free. We'll keep them spoiler-free, but we'll talk about things we liked about them, because these are shows people maybe haven't watched yet. Then we're going to have our Thunder Take to open the show. Jazz, the Thunder Take is the Evil Flying Chickens and how they may have predicted this pandemic. We're going to dive into that, and then we'll get, like I said, we're going to talk about favorite binge watch shows. I know I got a few in my short list here. I've enjoyed shows like Picard, Kim's Convenience, Ozark. And I know you've got a nice list of shows too you want to talk about. We'll also have agree or disagree, and I'm going to try to get Jazz to do a thoughts and advice to close out the show. All that right after the right after this. In the year 2020, there are squirrels, giant squirrels breathing fire. There are dragons coming out from the flying out from the sky. Giant spiders being dropped down from the sky.
Tornadoes are an actual thing.
Yeah, exactly. All right, on the 125th episode from the Thunderpop Dome, Jazz One, I want to ask you, your band, the Evil Flying Chickens, how did you all predict this pandemic? Because I believe you did. And maybe credit should be contributed maybe to Jason Charles. Maybe he predicted the pandemic, or I don't know if you all as a group did it together.
No, it's been really strange. Part of our aesthetic is in promo pictures, we use plague doctor mask. And I've noticed since this whole pandemic happened, I'm seeing a lot of memes with plague doctors, and all of a sudden it's like that plague doctor thing is kind of something that's popping up everywhere. That, and we have a song called We're All Gonna Die, which has the phrase sick world in the chorus.
Wow.
Usually the chorus, I'm singing through a vocoder, so I'm getting to sing like a robot. Life goals. But yeah, it's just it's weird kind of seeing like our aesthetic, you know, out and about. And we recently dropped an EP called The Bat Cave Sessions, and you can hear We're All Gonna Die on it. Down in the trenches. I know you've been doing TikToks lately. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found some of our music on TikTok.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For a while, I was doing a kind of like daily, you know, I'm a creative person. I've got TikTok and, you know, just cracking jokes on the isolation, you know.
Yeah.
And I think the first day I was like doing DMX's, you know, up in here, you know.
I saw that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, man, that's cool. So next day I was like Charles Barkley, you know, like I got a shaved head. And uh-huh. I was like, okay, I'm feeling this. This is this day. And the third day, I grabbed my chicken, not my chicken mask, but my plague doctor mask for the band. And I found, you know, We're All Going to Die on TikTok. I didn't know our music was uploaded to TikTok. So, man, I'm in a dark room. I have, like, a flashlight in my hand. I got dramatic lights, man. I got, you know, just creating something out of nothing. And then next day, I'm starting to get, like, messages on Facebook Messenger, like, you okay? I'm like, okay, maybe I am doing, you know, playing the crazy a little bit too much.
People took it too literally.
Yeah, really, I was just trying to do a little promo for the band, you know, when I realized, okay, people are watching this. So, yeah, I tried to do something with one of our songs, and I thought We're All Going to Die, you know, is perfectly, you know, fit for this situation. It might have been a little nihilistic.
Just to make sure, are you doing okay? Just don't double check. No, I know your sense of humor. So I saw the first videos and I was like, oh, this is hilarious. This is all Jazz here.
Yeah, it helps if you know me.
Yeah. Those were hilarious. Keep doing them. I'm enjoying your TikToks. I can't wait till we can do some collaborations. We can get back together and do some collabs. And yeah, we're getting into Thunder. We're getting into Thunder Pop is, you know, getting into TikTok. And
dude, you're killing it, man. From what you showed me already, man, I'm stoked to see what you're doing next.
Yeah, we're going to. I think this weekend is going to be a dance. We're going to do the next one's going to be another simple one. I'm going to do a dance in Chewbacca for the Jennifer Lopez J-Lo challenge. And so Chewbacca dancing to some J-Lo. But then I think I'm going to roll out the BB-8 special effects for my big BB-8 video that I've been telling you about. And that was going to that one's got some sophisticated post-production effects in there. So this,
yeah, it's, I'm kind of finding myself a little bit surprised I'm enjoying it that much. Oh yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, well, one thing, you know, people don't understand about TikTok is, and I thought this myself my first few times that I was on there, I thought, oh, it's just dance challenges, like high school kids dancing and lip syncing, and I thought that's all it was. But I actually took a mastery course in TikTok. And that's what got me more excited about TikTok, because it turns out TikTok, there's a lot of other types of content on TikTok. Now, TikTok likes to push on their homepage. They like to push the dance challenges and the lip syncing stuff. But you get into the TikTok ecosystem, you start to see that they've got educational videos and people doing tutorials on stuff and vlogging. There's a superhero news page, which is right up our alley. So I'm like, oh yeah, there's the potential here is broader. And me thinking as a podcaster, if you can get some really good content in a 1 minute, because the videos, the max time is a minute. If you can get really good content that shows who you are in a minute, in little snippets, in a minute, that's people are more likely to watch a 1 minute or listen to a 1 minute thing than they are to go to a iTunes and listen to a two-hour podcast. But if they like what you're doing in that 1 minute snippet and they're interested and they're involved in it, you'll get them. Next thing you know, you'll get them to your Instagram, and then to the Instagram, they'll go. And then they would be interested in hearing what a 2 hour podcast from these people might be like. So I'm all in on it, but I think businesses can use it and other entertainers can use it to promote, you know, Evil Flying Chicken's music's on there. So bands promoting their music. So yeah, so EFC kind of in a roundabout way maybe, but they sort of were prophets. You predicted the pandemic.
Yeah, we're a little bit ahead of the curve, you know. It's kind of surprised me. I was like, you know, I was, for one, surprised our music was on TikTok, but I think that might be something with, I'm not sure how that works, but it's there.
Now, let me ask you this on the mask. You'll have the Spanish flu, the 1920, I think it was from 1918 to 1920. And I'll tell you what, I know a lot more about the Spanish flu this year than I knew last year, because I did a lot of reading up on past pandemics after we started to have our own in 2020. I started reading a lot more up on them, and I started reading up on pandemics from the big one in the Spanish flu, and then there was the bubonic plague that hit years before that, and I think believe the 1800s, but I'm just making that number up possibly. But in 1918 and 1920, the Spanish flu. And there's these eerie masks with these hats that people wore, and that's what you guys wear on a lot of the artwork for that album.
Oh yeah, it's like a lot of our promo photos are in those masks. And I mean, as far as a branding thing, it's kind of genius. You know, I've been stopped in grocery stores and just random places. Like, you're in that band where they wear the mask, right? Like, yeah.
Where did you guys find those masks? Because those are vintage.
Well, like when you join the band, you get one. You know, it's kind of like you're one of us now. You know,
you get issued one, like joining the army, you get issued your uniform.
Yeah, over the years, I think there's been about 7 or 8 different members of Evil Flying Chickens. So it's like whenever somebody new comes in, It's like when Jason orders the mask, you are a chicken.
Mm-hmm. You've been indoctrinated. Do you have is there sort of an inauguration into the EFC?
Yeah, I can't talk about the evil sacrifices in the back of a KFC or a Popeyes, but I can't share details.
Mum's the word. We'll stay quiet. We won't tell the secrets of Evil Flying Chickens. And everyone, check out Evil Flying Chickens, and where you can find them on YouTube. They have a YouTube channel.
Yeah. Like if you Google or go to the search on YouTube, we are literally the only Evil Flying Chickens out there. There's not like another one in another state. Like there's only one group called Evil Flying Chickens.
It's not like what's the cover band? The guys that dress up in the 80s costumes. They're the tip of my tongue. The name of that band. But there's like one in every
around here.
Yeah, it's not the it's not like the Spasmatics where there's Evil Flying Chickens in every major city.
Well, the funny thing, man, it's like I'm so used to saying it, you know, promoting it and everything, and I forget that it's kind of a strange phrase. Yeah. And I remember, you know, I guess ego Googling or whatever, and you know, I found it on there was a list of crazy band names and like. There's hundreds on there, but somehow we were included on that one. I'm like, oh yeah, that is kind of crazy.
Well deserved. It really is one of the best band names around. And there are some good band names. And just when you think that the well has been tapped on great band names, comes Evil Flying Chickens.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we did a music video for Down in the Trenches. We all got tattoos together.
Nice.
And called that one the Foul de Lee.
I love it, man. I love it. You have a lot of great tattoos. I don't even think I remember seeing that one. That's one that I don't recollect. We don't get a chance to see your living quarters very often. So this is a rare occasion for the Thunderpop viewing audience, whatever we call them, viewing audience, or just dudes with their shirts off on Instagram, whatever our audience happens to be, whatever you want to call them. But here I see in the background a nice. Now you've been on. I've seen you on, but we haven't done a lot of video from your location, from your home,
yeah.
Where the audience can see it until now. So I'm enjoying right now seeing. And for the podcast listener that usually listens just to an audio of us, we're attempting to video this tonight, the Skype, and it's a beta test. So we don't even know if this video is going to save on my hard drive afterwards. But if it does, and people do actually get to see what I'm looking at, I'm top corner to my left, which would be, I guess, your right. We have the one and only Mark Hamill.
Yeah, from the day that me, you, and Don and Gene, our Mark Hamill adventure. You know, like, man, that ranked up there in one of the most amazing days in my life, man. I've been with everybody, mm-hmm. shot at everybody, hung out with everybody. That was the only time in my adult life I've ever felt like a fanboy. But it's amazing to find, like, other people who are, like, super, like, national level. And they geek out on the same level as Mark Hamill.
Same. It wasn't this year, obviously. It wasn't last year. That would have been 2018, I believe. The South by Southwest 2018. We got to meet Mark Hamill. Yeah. Yeah. And I remember because my son had just been born. And so I had to find a babysitter to be able to go. And I had to scramble. But luckily, Meemaw and Peepaw came through and came and took care of my son while I ran over downtown to go see him. Mark Hamill.
Man, the stars like literally aligned. You know, either that or I'm a Jedi and I use the Force to make that happen.
Both.
Like, it still makes no sense how that came together.
It was amazing. It worked out and it was amazing. It was a special moment. And there's the other one and only Jazz One with Mark Hamill there in the top corner. And then I see the Rise of Skywalker. It looks like a Rise of Skywalker poster.
Oh, yeah. Man, there was a painting, a portrait of myself there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kurt Power, who worked on Waking Life, He was one of the animators in Waking Life, did a film called Night People, Season Night. And it was kind of a documentary, but had like a fictional story going through it. Hit several festivals. I think it won like Best Experimental Film at Trail Dance. But like the main people in the film, he painted portraits of. Of course, that's still when I before I started shaving my head.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely like one of my favorite possessions right there.
Absolutely. That's so cool. I also see the Lord Vader ventilator helmet that you can, that you, I'm sure, wear now when you go to the store and go out to run errands.
HEB runs.
You make the HEB runs in that. And now you get away with doing it, and it's welcomed. It's not like, who's the guy in the Darth Vader helmet? It's like,
oh,
no.
Absolutely.
It's like, what an awesome idea that is. That's how I plan to get through to the summer and fall is I'm going to order a full Stormtrooper suit.
Now, the other day I was cracking jokes about I have a good Spider-Man mask. I wear it on stage. We have the song The Nerds. And the chorus is the nerds are getting blowjobs from Suicide Girls and Spider-Man t-shirts. So I sing like the chorus in, the like black and gray Spider-Man mask, you know, kind of fits with our aesthetic, right? Man, I was joking the other day. I was like, man, while we're having to wear a mask and stuff, like, could I go to the grocery store in a Spider-Man mask? Could I go out in public in a Spider-Man mask?
Yeah. So you have the Spider-Man mask and you, yeah, I say absolutely to wearing that out in public.
Yeah.
And absolutely, great story about that. If people stay tuned, after this episode 125, we have a TP Extra where Jazz tells a great story about how he utilized that Spider-Man mask to do some really good in the community. Him and his friend together as a team. So
yeah, absolutely.
We're going to hit that. We're going to hit that. So getting into some things to kind of entertain us while we've been home, and there's ways to entertain us, and there's been some great content loaded up on the internet by both, you know, entertainers in Hollywood and also content creators all around the world. There's been, you know, our shows, the shows that we love to watch, and there's been some good content on streaming platforms to watch as well. So let's dive into that a little bit.
I'm a Mr. Keyman. This is my store. I'm working very hard every day. My wife, Mrs. Kim, is working hard too. We're a very happy family.
What?
One day, my daughter Janet did take over store.
I'm not taking over the store.
What's wrong with the store?
Okay, maybe not now, but
I'm not taking over the store ever, okay?
Our favorite binge watches of the pandemic in 2020. Awesome. And I hope we don't have to do this show next year, like our favorite binge watches of the pandemic of 2021.
COVID 2020.
Yeah, I hope this is a one-off, to be honest with you. But I want to get into Jazz's favorite. So give me your top list, like your three to five shows that you have enjoyed binge watching.
Man, I think it was like on the 4th, May the 4th, you know, there was a good drop on Disney Plus. And, you know, I had the biggest late pass on Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And they had stopped, I guess got canceled, but came back for this last season 7, which kind of wraps up a lot of the plot points. But yeah, the last 4 episodes was probably some of the, I don't know, it's like a lot of people who like Star Wars aren't up on the animated shows, and I was the latest person, but the last 4 episodes of the Clone Wars is some mind-blowing, you know, ranks up there probably about halfway in the, you know, top Star Wars of all time. You know, incredible lightsaber battle between Maul and Ahsoka, and I'm not going to, you know, spoil it, but wow, you know, there's some amazing things at the end. And so watching that when that dropped, then I started going, checking out the episode of Rebels where like Maul was in, that different characters from Clone Wars were in. So you can kind of see like what happened in between the two. The other thing is like, there's a behind the scenes, on The Mandalorian.
Yes.
I guess they're dropping episodes.
It just dropped, just dropped a few weeks ago.
I remember getting a call from my agent saying that Jon Favreau wants to meet you regarding a Star Wars project. And so I immediately said, you know, when and where. I wanted to meet Jon Favreau. I didn't care what he wanted me to do. I had no idea what it was, whether it was a feature or, you know, a cereal box. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, there's two of them so far. Another one drops tomorrow. And it's just a really good, it's the directors of the episode sitting around, you know, a round table and just talking nerdy and really good stuff.
It's so much fun listening. And I know just from the Netflix show that Jon Favreau has done, he does it, you know, he does his cooking show on Netflix, but he talks a lot of Marvel and a lot of Star Wars on the show. And just when the episode he had Dave Filoni on, when Filoni was working on the season of Clone Wars, so much fun to listen to those guys, you know, just talk Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Man, just, yeah, it's really amazing. And outside of that, man, I think there's a show on Netflix called Midnight Gospel.
I've heard of this show.
Yeah, it's another animated show. And it's very trippy. You know, it's I mean, I guess the animation style is kind of anime-ish, Steven Universe-ish, but it's like the audio of it is like really deep, like philosophical ideas, but then they're slaying zombies, you know, in the it's a total split of like what you're hearing and what you're seeing. But yeah, it's pretty good, like late night watching.
Well, that's one of my favorites is the mixing of genres and it's kind of mixed together.
When like, the main character is recording a space cast. So he basically, he's going to these other dimensions and basically recording a podcast.
Interesting. It is interesting.
It's a documentary.
I love it. Well, it'd be just a matter of time before we do have the first podcast recorded in space in real life.
Oh, exactly.
It's just a matter of time before like NASA does one in, on the space shuttle or Elon Musk does one on his luxury spacecraft, whatever they're doing. I think it's just a matter of time before we have Joe Rogan and Elon Musk on a spacecraft doing a podcast in space. I'm all in. Would you, if they had a thing where you like we could go like civilians could go to space right now, and we won like a raffle? Would you want to go to space? Is that what I'm asking? Would you want to take the space tour? Would you be worried about it being kind of in the beta stages and not wanting to be a tester?
Do I have to come back?
You might like it too much and decide you want to stay.
Oh, I don't know, man. It's like, man, I'm usually extremely hopeful, you know, extremely optimistic. But, man, it's just like all the stuff in the news like lately has been heavy. You know, I know we're talking about, you know, lighter fare. But, man, one thing I've started doing is like nothing COVID-19 related after like 6 p.m., you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And then, you know, there's nothing I can find out that night that I can't find out in the morning. And that's given me a little peace and like let me sleep a little better. But yeah, there's you know, some really good series out there. Watched Happy recently. The second season of that has come out. And yeah, it's pretty crazy too. What are you watching?
You know, I went ahead and added another month of CBS Access so I could finish watching Picard. Picard, of course, is a continuation of the Star Trek The Next Generation. It's a sequel series to Star Trek The Next Generation. Now, Patrick Stewart, who plays Jean-Luc Picard, did not want to do any more Star Trek. Now, I did not know this until just recently, but they had been trying to woo him for a while to come back and do more Picard. And one of the things is he didn't want to do just Star Trek Next Generation 2.0. He didn't want it to be a retread.
Next Generation?
Exactly. He didn't want to do the Next Generation. He wanted it to be something different. And it makes sense from a creative standpoint to think, if you're going that many years since, I guess, the last Next Generation movie, because they went to movies for a while after the series ended, they did, you know, maybe three movies of the Next Generation cast. So, you know, they did the movies, I think, into like probably the mid 90s. So you're talking about a good 15, 16 year gap from the last Picard sighting on the big screen. So, you know, you think about if someone's life in 15, 20 years, they may not be in the same environment, the same setting, in the same situation. And, you know, a lot of these reboots or these revitalizations of shows, sometimes they feel obligated for the fan service to have that familiarity. And when they bring back these shows, to have the cast almost in the same setting that they were when the show left off, which is not always realistic. Oh, yeah. Which is not always realistic, because people move, people quit their jobs, people leave their jobs, people retire, people go back to school. Different things happen in people's lives. You're from Louisiana. You moved to Austin. You've been now. You're as much an Austinite as you are a Louisiana.
Yeah,
you know?
20 years, man.
Yeah. So if you had the jazz show in 1998. And, you know, trying to pick up and do a reboot of the jazz show in 2020, to say you would be in the same everything, like, didn't this guy change or evolve or explore new things in his life? So that's what I like about the Picard show, is that it is showing him, and he had some things, you know, shit hit the fan for Admiral Picard. And he's not in the same place he was 20 years ago. And he's got some demons. He's got some new skeletons in his closet, some new demons in his closet that he's dealing with. That was after the last movie, and that's where the show picks up. It's super interesting to see him work through this stuff and then figure out how he's going to try to tackle these skeletons in his closet, these demons. And, you know, I don't think I'm spoiling it too much by saying it does lead him. He's in retirement. It does lead him back out on yet another mission to save the universe, but it's not the same this time. It's a little different. It's a rogue mission. It's a rogue mission. It's not Starfleet sanctioned. So it makes for a very interesting show to see the renegade Captain Picard.
So that, like Rogue One?
It's like Rogue One with Jean-Luc Picard, a little bit of that. But, you know, the thing I like about the show, it is grittier and edgier. It's a little bit more grown-up Star Trek than what we saw with the Next Generation, and then obviously with the original series in the 60s. It's more grown-up Star Trek. It's more gritty Star Trek. There's times where it feels a little bit like Blade Runner. It's got that grittiness to it. It's got some of the more of the darkness, kind of the more of the artsy shooting and how the show is shot. There's one scene with a girl and a guy, and they're in bed, and the way they shot it, where the blanket is kind of like hanging off the edges of the screen. It has kind of a, there's another scene where they're walking, running through a tunnel, and water puddles are everywhere. And it feels a lot like a dystopian kind of futuristic-esque Star Trek. So it's a lot more grown-up Star Trek, but then it still has those moments where there's the humor. There's a character in the show that's sort of he's another swashbuckling pilot for hire, which also sounds familiar, by the way. But the guy, you know, he smokes cigars on the ship. He kicks his feet up on the tables. And there's some funny moments between him and the other characters that I really enjoy, too. So it's still got that humor that, you know, that's one thing that there's a common thread with Star Trek and Star Wars, is that both shows integrate humor so well into a sci-fi story,
and making
sure there's still those funny moments. And they both have done so well with that over the years, in integrating those funny moments into still weaving it into a very suspenseful sci-fi story. And they still have that in there, and I like that they didn't lose that personality, even though they're trying to make it a little bit more, you know, 2020 Star Trek, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Another one, and I'm sure you will agree with me on this, I'm into the latest season of Kim's Convenience.
Man, so good.
I'm three episodes away from finishing, and I would have already finished it, to be honest with you, a lot sooner, but it's one of the shows that I watch with my wife, and she really enjoys the show. I've got her into the show as well, and there's a few shows that we enjoy together. There's shows that she watches that I'm not interested in watching. I'll give you an example. One she's watching right now on Netflix, it's called Toy Boy. And I'm not interested in watching Toy Boy. Toy Boy is a Toy Boy, to set it up for you, is a show about some male strippers that are, and one of them is in a one of them is accused of a murder he did not commit. So that's where the plot story begins. And from hearing her talk about it, it sounds like Ozark, but instead of Jason Bateman, it's like 10 guys that don't have their shirts on that are male strippers.
So it's a documentary.
Exactly. So, but for you, those of you that might be interested in a story about 10 male strippers and one that's been accused of a murder he did not commit, it's called Toy Boy, and it is on Netflix. And it's my wife's contribution to this list that we're presenting to you. But Kim's Convenience, we love Kim's Convenience. We're huge fans on this podcast of Kim's Convenience. And the star of the show is a great guy. I mean, he's also a Star Wars fan a big, huge Star Wars fan, by the way. And he's also is great with fans on social media and how he interacts with people on social media. And he's done some wonderful videos during the pandemic, during the quarantine, from his house as well, that I've really enjoyed. But
I listened to a podcast the other day with Paul Appa, on a Star Wars podcast, and it was like 2 hours of him telling stories.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
Yeah, then being on the set of The Mandalorian, and I would be surprised if he's not in an episode next season, which, you know, I'm as happy for him as if it were myself. It's just Kim's Convenience is an amazing show. Like, from the writing to the callbacks, just, you know, to me, like, the actors are as good of people as the characters.
Yeah, they're great. It'll be interesting to see where they go. Now, big news, we already announced this on the podcast, but they announced on their Facebook Watch video that they did after the Canadian season finale, before it went to Netflix, so this last season. The show's set in Toronto, Canada. It's a funny situation comedy set in Toronto, Canada. For those of you that may not be up on it, it's set at a convenience store in Toronto, Canada, and it's mainly following one family, Korean American family that live in Toronto, and then also Korean Canadian family rather that live in Toronto, and they own a convenience store, Kim's Convenience. And then also a little bit of the outside the show, a good deal of the show also takes place at the rental car place that the oldest son works at.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just like very relatable stuff. I mean, it's just like, and weirdly wholesome without being corny, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really great to escape to Toronto for about a half hour.
It makes me want to visit Toronto. I've never been to Toronto, and I always thought Toronto would be a fun trip. But previous to that, I probably would have said, if you give me a choice to go visit any city in Canada, I might have picked Vancouver, but now I might pick Toronto because I want to go to where Kim's Convenience is so bad. But the show's hilarious. I'll tell you, this season, some of my favorite moments, well, my favorite moments of last, see, they're in season four now, is that correct?
Four, yeah.
Yeah. So the big news,
just renewed for 5 and 6.
They have already been renewed for 5 and 6. Yeah, I started to say that, didn't finish it. They've already been renewed for 5 and 6, which is great news for us. Now they're in season four is what's just dropped on Netflix, has been on there for a little while. But anyway, yeah, I would get through them a lot faster, but I watch them with my wife, and so we have to watch them when we're both, you know, want to watch them together. Otherwise, I would have already just peeled through them, plowed through them, rather. But anyway, yeah, so the fourth season this year, Terrence some hilarious episodes with Terrence from the rental car place. And I know you know
wasabi.
Yeah, the wasabi episode. And the one I just watched with the puzzle, him doing his puzzle in the rental car place. He sets up a table that's his own table. And on his breaks, he's working on a very elaborate, huge puzzle, which a lot of people right now during the quarantine could appreciate, as I know some of my friends showing their puzzles off on Facebook have been working on puzzles at home to kind of entertain themselves. And if we don't have a football season this year, I'm going to be one of those people doing one of these elaborate puzzles. And, sitting, I'm going to be like the blog, the meme, sitting outside looking out at the birds. We're off with Michael Scott, the Michael Scott meme that always gets put on the web.
Well, it's like, was it Jung, the actor who plays him, Simu Liu? Mm-hmm. He's going to be Shang-Chi in a Marvel movie, I think, next year.
Yeah.
So it's like, definitely, you know, to see someone before they blow up, like, have a feeling, man, this guy is going to, you know, Shang-Chi's going to be like the Asian Black Panther. Like, I have a feeling it's going to be a huge film. He's going to be huge. Definitely check out this sitcom, like, before this guy goes, like, you know, super big.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked about that, too, because we think he's going to really blow up. And we wonder if he'll be on the show. I think he'll still do the show. I just don't think he'll be on there as much as things start to take off with him after Shang-Chi comes out.
Like, move out of Vancouver.
Yeah, and he's, you know, not being being at a different, not in the convenience store, and he's more at the location at the rental car place. They could still have him in the story, like they could still have him in Toronto, but just say he's not here right now. But then again, it might be easier just to say he's in a different town. I don't know. It depends on how they want to use that. He may decide he's going to be a workhorse and may decide he's going to do, Chris Pratt is a good example of someone that was on a sitcom that took off as an action Marvel star, because he was on Parks and Rec. And then towards the end of Parks and Rec, I think he started doing movies because he got Jurassic Park or Jurassic World, and then he gets Guardians of the Galaxy. But I believe he finished most of his work on Parks and Rec, even though he was starting to kind of get into the movies a little bit towards the end of it. But that's a good kind of a comparison of someone that got a Marvel movie that was in a situation comedy here in the States. And I mean, there's been a few other shows, you know, obviously, in the case of The Office, where, you know, Michael Scott, he took off in movies and ended up leaving the show. So he did he kind of did it to where he didn't, you know, he left the show because he was starting to do movies and starting to get pretty big in movies. So that he kind of went a different direction, and they could end up being that way too. But love Kim's Convenience. Also, Ozark is a show that's a lot of really intense show that a lot of people are really enjoying on Netflix. It's in its latest season. That season dropped since we've been in the quarantine. Here's one that I really enjoyed, and this one I did finish it in the span of a week, because once I picked it up, I couldn't set it down. Tiger King.
It's not every day that a zookeeper went to prison for murder for hire.
There are more captive tigers in the U.S. than there are in the wild throughout the world.
Animal people are nuts, man. They're all crazy.
I'm sure y'all got a story to tell.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Joe Exotic, and this is Sarge.
He was like a mythical character living out in the middle of bumfuck Oklahoma who owned 1,200 tigers and lions and bears and shit.
Come here, love.
Man, I was into it, then I'm like, okay, anything that's got a tiger in it, being an LSU guy,
yeah, I would.
It's going to catch my eye. You know, like with the Jungle Book, I was pulling for Shere Khan. You know, like in Life of Pi, I wanted the tiger to win, right?
You're not going to, you can't root against a tiger. You can't do it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I see Tiger King. So I start watching it. And, man, it was just like, kept taking left turns, and like every episode was like a little bit more like, what the fuck, you know? And there's like not really anybody likable in the show. And then it's like, then it kind of hits me like, man, these Tigers are kind of mistreated. So, you know, not like Mike the Tiger at LSU, you know. I mean, that Tiger lives about twice as long as, like, regular Tigers. But, yeah, being an LSU guy, I'm trying to go, hopefully we'll be out from under the quarantine this fall. And I plan on hopefully hitting the Texas game over in Baton Rouge.
I hope you're there. I hope you're there in September.
The A&M game.
I hope you're there. And I'll be happy. I'll be happy no matter who wins, just to have the game. Just to have the game for me will be a win. Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
So if even if Texas won that game, you'd be thrilled that they just had the game, wouldn't you? I wanted to see if I could get that answer for you.
I have to be eating so much crow. I have to find recipes for crow. But yeah, hopefully they will play I Saw a Tiger in the stadium.
Yeah, that's what we're waiting on, is to see if that's going to happen.
Yeah, I will see how many people are dressing up as like Joe Exotic at the LSU
That's
games.
What I was going to ask you. You as an LSU fan, could you see that being a thing at the future LSU games next year?
I think it would be kind of an inside joke. I really wouldn't be surprised if I Saw a Tiger, that Joe Exotic song was played. Yeah, that was good. Man,
let me ask you this. Have there been any Joe Burrow, Tiger King memes? We're like, oh,
absolutely.
I thought this was the Tiger King. I thought this Joe was the actual Tiger King, not that Joe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, man, go from the Bayou Bengals to the Cincy Bengals. Yeah, he's going to be stuck with that name for a while.
Okay, let me ask you this. So if LSU is the Tiger King of college football, and they were this past year, okay, Joe Burrow would be Joe Exotic of that show, okay? Would Nick Saban be the Carol Baskin of that Tiger King?
Exactly.
That's what I'm thinking, right? I'm
exactly.
Because there's kind of that similar kind of rivalry between Carol Baskin and Joe Exotic as there is between Alabama and LSU. That's sort of the same hatred.
Exactly.
And I think some of the same stunts have been pulled between the two schools against each other that were pulled against, like snakes in an envelope sent to Carol Baskin. I'm sure that's been done to Nick Saban.
Nick Saban is the devil. Man, have you seen Kevin Smith's new movie?
You're talking about his Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that's available on streaming now. I have not watched it yet, but you told me you took a look at it.
Amazon. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've enjoyed, we call it, Kevin Smith movies since Clerks.
Mm-hmm.
He was inspired to shoot Clerks because of Richard Linklater and with Slacker. So it's like, I've always appreciated, like, interesting filmmaking, like on low budgets. But yeah, then he took the characters, Jay and Silent Bob, Strike Back. But this new one, Jay and Silent Bob reboot, it's like I'm a big fan of like meta humor, very aware of itself humor. And yeah, just a lot of really meta humor in the new Jay and Silent Bob reboot. Speaking of like meta humor, Netflix has got Community now.
Yeah, just also dropped during the quarantine. All six seasons, all the seasons.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And Dan Harmon, who did Rick and Morty, does the Harmontown podcast. Man, his sense of humor, he was a showrunner for Community, and man, his sense of humor and like his style like really scratches an itch.
You know what? The thing with Community for me, and I watched a few episodes when it was in its original run, and I was into it, but I just never got the time to watch it all when it was originally airing. And now it's on Netflix. It's definitely on my short list of shows that I want to go back to and finish. But all the people on the show are some of my favorite people that I've enjoyed from other things that I've seen them in. So for me, I'm really excited to see the show because the cast of the show, to me, are all people that I really enjoy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Joe McHale did like an eighth episode of Tiger King, like a post, you know, prologue type show, where he's like interviewing all the people from the Tiger King.
That was actually pretty funny. I enjoyed that. Yeah, that was pretty good to see him kind of get his little zingers in there in between, kind of little jabs at him and stuff was pretty good. Now here's something on the on Joe McHale. The last time I was in Louisiana, he was there. I saw him. He was there in New Orleans filming an independent film, an indie film of some sort. And I was like, "Oh, Joe McHale!" He walked right by me down near the art museum, a couple of the big art museum. He was down. They were down there on that street filming an indie film. That was a few years ago. So yeah, I've seen him before in your home state of all places.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, New Orleans is big. A place for production, a lot of movies shoot there, and shows and TV shows shoot there as well over the years. Okay, so yeah, a lot of good stuff on there. And you liked Jay and Silent Bob reboot better than the original, you said.
I mean, it's just kind of man, there's just when Kevin Smith does Kevin Smith, when he'll make like super meta jokes, you know. There was a whole section where he's kind of talking about remakes and reboots, and it's just like we all know what he's talking about.
it's very entertaining for us to nerd out on Kevin Smith.
Yeah, it like definitely like had some heart to it too, you know, and that's I think that's what I like the most.
The most fun thing about Kevin Smith is to nerd out to Kevin Smith nerding out about stuff. That's super entertaining. Like, I'm sure you've listened to his breakdowns when he does after his new Star Wars movie comes out. Do you find yourself eventually ending up on his YouTube channel to see his breakdown of the movie?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he loves these movies so much. So it's so much fun to listen to him break it down and as a passionate fan himself.
Well, when they had the dialogue about the contractors on the Death Star, when Death Star 2 was like blown up, you know,
yeah,
it's like, and there, a lot of people didn't sign up for that, you know. I mean, it's one thing if you're a stormtrooper and you were, you know, in the military or whatever, but you know, like the contractors like working on the Death Star, I'm like, damn. But I was like, when I heard that section of Clerks, I was like, yep. He's one of us.
Yeah, love it, love it. We're going to dive in to agree or disagree. Before we do that, I want people that might not know where to find you after the podcast, know where they can find you.
Jazz One. Yeah, you can find me at djjazz1.com. That's DJJAZZ and the numeral 1.com. There's projects I've worked on, interviews I've shot. Then it's like music I dig, and it's a good little thing there. Yeah, djjazz1.com. Also, I have at jazz1 and spelled out JAZZONE on both Twitter and Instagram, and JazzyWonder2 on TikTok. I guess somebody else had Jazzy Wonder.
Who is that? Somebody else had Thunderpop. We ended up with Thunderpop TV because somebody else had it. And yeah.
But their thunder ain't popping.
Yeah. Who needs their thunder to pop? Other than us. Okay, on this 125th episode of the Thunderpop podcast... Speaking of the Tiger King, our first question, number one, is related to the Tiger King. So there's a story that's been coming out, and it's starting to build up a little bit. I mean, just when you think the story came out originally a few weeks ago, then it kind of quieted down, but now it's starting to build momentum again. The legal team of Joe Exotic.
I've had some kinky sex. I have tried drugs through the younger years of my life.
Is right now putting together a pitch to go to the White House to pitch Joe Exotic for a pardon to get him to be released from prison. Do you agree or disagree? And I think I already know your answer, hearing your kind of diagnosis on the show. Do you agree or disagree that Joe Exotic, the Tiger King, the self-proclaimed Tiger King, should be given a pardon from prison?
No, because Joe Burrow is the Tiger King.
Well, I won't disagree with that. Now, here, let me ask you this. But do you? This is a different question. Same question, or different, same subject, but a different way of asking the question. Do you agree or disagree that he will, in fact, get the pardon that he's seeking out from the current administration? This is more of a prediction. Now, I must say that that Trump has already said that he's looking into it. He's got his people looking into it. And not like there's isn't really anything else important to do in the world right now than to have people spending time looking into Joe Exotic. But anyway, he has not said no. So
in that circus, wouldn't be surprised. Not saying that I think Joe Exotic should be free, should get pardoned or not, but nothing would surprise me.
Well, no. And there are tigers in the circus, typically, so. So that works. That's on brand. But, I actually told my wife, I said, the way that I think that Trump thinks, I think that he actually would actually do it because he knows that would help his chances of getting more votes with his audience. It kind of is kind of on brand, if I would think, to do something like that. So anyway, I think it's possible. It's not impossible. Much more outrageous things have been done. So, I mean, Dennis Rodman went to meet with Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, North Korea. Yeah.
Yeah, North Korea for diplomatic meetings. Dennis Rodman handling U.S. diplomatic meetings. So, hey, it's not impossible in 2020. I mean, we have killer roaches from the sky, or what is it? These killer bugs from the sky?
Yeah, murder hornets.
Yeah, let's reset things. We have murder hornets. We have a pandemic. We have that has everybody on quarantine and self lockdown, and also government mandated lockdown. We have also in 2020 to keep score. The government has now, I think, haven't they more or less said that UFOs are a thing?
Oh yeah, and most people didn't even notice very much. I mean, that was
how crazy that, yeah, that was just kind of a throwaway like back page news story. Like, there's, oh yeah, by the way, aliens do exist. Well, they never actually said aliens exist. They said UFOs, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a difference. There's a difference between a UFO, because a UFO can be a weather satellite or like a whatever they call those things that float in the space that are for the weather. I don't know if they call it a weather satellite, but
yeah,
that can be spotted as and be seen as a UFO. I mean, UFOs can be a falling star. I don't know. So I think, UFOs exist. I mean, I've seen UFOs myself. I've seen something up in the sky and I couldn't identify what it was. So it was an unidentifiable flying object by myself. It wasn't official, but.
Well, the video looked like a TIE fighter, we know what that is.
So I think we might be actually verifying that Star Wars actually does really exist. But I just hope we don't see that Death Star, sort of come out of the clouds all of a sudden.
Well, it does say in a galaxy far, far away. For it to be far, far away, we have to be here, right? So I think we do exist in the Star Wars universe.
I think so. I mean, I think. I mean, they haven't brought that in. They haven't brought us in to that story yet. That hasn't happened. But I mean, in 30 years, they run out of story ideas that could, I mean, we may cross paths. I mean, it could just be really Disney doing a really elaborate promotional for the next trilogy to set up the next trilogy.
Man, I tell you, Starkiller Base is going to show up on the horizon. You know, Starkiller Base 2 or Death Star 3.
I've waited. I've waited so long for this. Okay, number two, and this is very appropriate. Speaking of Star Wars, Harrison Ford. Another story that sort of may have gotten missed by some people, and I've joked about this on the podcast a few times. I've said Harrison Ford has had some trouble lately with airplanes. Now, I don't know if you knew the story. Well, a few years ago, he crash lands an airplane, at a golf course.
Yeah.
And then there was something else that happened in between there and now. And then just the other day, there was an incident with him in a plane on a landing strip at an airport where he was, I think he was on the runway when he wasn't supposed to be. Apparently, he was taking his test to get his license renewed. Now, I don't want to totally just make fun of Harrison, because Harrison apparently has done some really good things. I read this today. As a pilot, he's gone out and used his plane to go out on humanitarian missions.
Oh, wow.
Like, he's used it to bring supplies and food to people during natural disasters. So that, to me, sounds like real life Han Solo. Like, again, life imitating art and art imitating life. But anyway, he had another incident, though, with the plane. And, I mean, Harrison's getting up there in the years. He's 70-ish, 70-something. So my agree or disagree for you, and number two, do you agree or disagree that maybe it's time for Harrison Ford to stop flying planes?
Well, I think Harrison's proved one thing. Chewie was doing most of the piloting.
Good point. Good point. Chewie is one hell of a pilot, is he not?
Exactly. I mean, it appears to be, you know.
That's been confirmed now. Yeah. I think you're on.
Never seen the Millennium Falcon on a golf course.
No, Chewie wouldn't do it. Chewie wouldn't do it. By the way, I've got a future TikTok video I'm going to work on about my theory about Chewie, how he was kind of a creeping out through around the universe for years behind his wife's back. You know, kind of a Wookiee player. But, I mean, he's a cowboy in space, right? So, I mean,
Oh, absolutely. You
kind of almost expect that to him, you know, be sort of, you know, he might have even had an arrangement with his wife where it was sort of like, no kiss and tell. Kind of like, an open relationship, I guess, is possible.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was away from home for quite a bit over the years. It appears. I mean, I only saw him home once myself, and that was in the Star Wars Christmas special. Okay, so my last question for you. Number three, during this pandemic, there's been a lot of misunderstandings. There's been a lot of miscommunication. There's been a lot of changing of the path we're taking to try to go about handling the pandemic. But there's also been a lot of fear porn. Some things are legitimate, but there's also been a lot of fear porn. But it's hard because you don't know sometimes which of the things are real and which of the things are not real. You try to do your best to do your own, you know, dissecting of information when you look on the web. But two rumors that I've heard, and I don't even know if these are rumors. I think this is more of like speculation or forecast, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Well, I've heard possible meat shortage in the future. And then just the last few days, I've heard possible shortage of flour. Okay? So I don't even want to think about the flour issue, but let's talk about the meat shortage. I don't know if that's true, but I do concede logistics of that. If meat packing, if the COVID-19 were to get worse rather than better, or if it just didn't stabilize and were to get worse, or if there was a second wave and there was a lot of people sick from the meat plants, I could see that would cause an issue on meat production. Now, I think there's plenty of cattle and chickens, and I don't know farming well, but I think there's plenty of all that stuff, but I don't know. But I could see where labor could be an issue. to producing meat. So if let me ask you this. Do you agree or disagree that you, Jazz One, much like Chewbacca, would have to become a vegetarian if there is a meat shortage in our country?
Man, it's like philosophically, I get being a vegetarian, being a vegan. It's like I kind of like animals, but like, damn, they're so tasty, you know? I mean, I can't help that cow. He's delicious, you know? But, I mean, if it came down to it, I mean, if it was like super cost prohibitive, you know, it's like, man, I do enjoy my veggies, you know? Yeah. I could get by, you know, on that. You know, finding ways to get protein and stuff. If that's what it takes, that's what it takes, you know?
I can get down on a bean and cheese taco. I like me a bean and cheese taco. And, I mean, are eggs included in this? That's what I'm asking. Is that part of the meat shortage? Because for me, eggs are pretty good, and I could deal with still having eggs would be fine.
I know I'm an evil flying chicken, but I'm not, not as knowledgeable on actual chickens.
On the subject of actual chickens and their production of eggs. Yeah. So, and again, that's sort of a forecast, probably a worst case scenario sort of situation. And then that would only be temporary. I mean, so let me run a few by you. Vegan lasagna? Maybe, maybe not.
I could see that happening. My sister made one. It was like a eggplant lasagna.
Oh yeah, I've had that one. Like
delicious, and like you really couldn't tell it was like eggplant. So yeah, I would be down.
Do you have any family members that are vegetarians or really good friends that when you go out to eat with them, they're vegetarians?
Okay. Back home or here?
Well, both. Either way.
You know, back home, we're not really known for health food. But, you know, like, we're known for good food, not good food, right?
Gotcha.
But, yeah, I live in Austin. Homegirl Donna Jean is gluten-free. Homegirl Nat is vegan. No, everybody's a little bit something. You know, they have their diet restrictions here, so... Yeah, I could go vegetarian if that was, you know, what we needed to do, but or even just consume less meat.
Speaking of food and speaking of back home in Louisiana, did you ever get to see any of the Anthony Bourdain episodes that he did when he went to Louisiana? What did you think about
it? Yeah. Oh, man, it just made me feel like home, man. That last show he did. He went and did kind of the more Cajun, like Acadiana.
Yeah, that's the one I saw. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like the more rural Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's like having like cousins and uncles, you know, like that, you know, I have a lot of appreciation for. Yeah, it's like. I've seen some of his other shows where he's been like to New Orleans and my people do good food.
Yeah. So it makes sense that he'd spent some time there and did some shows there because it is a food haven for sure. And a lot of the biggest chefs in the world have multiple restaurants in New Orleans, like Emerald and Guy Fieri. And we make fun of Guy Fieri a lot, but I've heard some really good things during this crisis that he's really been there for people coming to their aid, especially people in the restaurant industry, that he's been really coming to their aid a lot in raising money for them.
Awesome.
Yeah, doing some really good things for them. All right, we're going to close out the show as we usually do with one of our favorite tropes, thoughts and advice for those asses, as Sam Jackson would say. So, Jazz One, do you have some thoughts and advice to close this out?
Man, couple of days ago was Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And next Monday will be 2 years since I lost my mother. You know, I know a lot of us are cooped up right now, quarantined, you know, reach out to your peoples, you know, call your mama.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I made a video card. I edited a little video for her because we were still, you know, but it's been weird times. as we all know, and that's an understatement, of course, but we've my parents live really close. They're in Elgin, Texas. So I get to see them quite a bit. But during this pandemic, I've still gotten to see them, but we've decided as a family we're social distancing. And it's hard with them having my son, a grandson that's 2.5 years old. Being able to not spend time with him at that age is hard for them as grandparents, as Meemaw and Peepaw. But we've had some really weird things, like, you know, going to visit them at their house, but them staying in the house and us being in the backyard and talking to them through the window. That's been kind of the stuff that we've been doing lately. And everybody's had their own way of handling it. Some people have just gone about their lives as normal. Other people have literally just put themselves in a bomb shelter and dressed in a hazmat suit and locked themselves down for the year. Other people wear a mask, go out only when they need to, stand 6 feet away from friends, and that's been enough for them. You know, we tried to do something close to what the government's health officials have recommended. We've tried to stick as close to that as we possibly can, and at times it's been hard. My parents, again, coming over to the house and them standing downstairs in the front yard and us talking to them from the balcony, and they came by and dropped off some stuff for us. And there's been a lot of that. There's been a lot of times on video chat. It's been weird. It's a weird time.
Man, there's going to be movies and TV shows made about these days.
Yeah.
I mean, no, there's, I know everybody's story's different, but there's going to be a lot of similarities, you know, like, you know, some people who live alone, you know, there's the isolation, you know, there's people that are trapped in their houses with abusive people, you know, I mean, there's some marriages that will be stronger going through this, and there's going to be some divorces after this.
Yeah.
It just seems like there's, half dozen to maybe a dozen different varieties, you know, like when I think, when creative writers and, you know, filmmakers and stuff, like, the whole planet will remember these times. I mean, there will be movies. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see a movie or a TV show, and, like, that was my story during the quarantine.
Yeah.
You know, that, man, I was thinking the other day, man, it's like, coming out of this, we're all going to have stories, you know, of going through these times. And it's just like, sometimes I try to be aware of, like, what's my story, you know? I mean, there's some days I'm in a funk and can't really get out, and it's just like, man, it's just kind of overwhelming. But I try to limit, like, bad days to one, not have consecutive bad days. Mm-hmm. And that, and just kind of finding, you know, ways to go out and, you know, ride my bike, you know? Mm-hmm. And just kind of, you know, trying to be aware of what my story will be like when this is all over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And I will invite myself to do the same thing that I'm asking you to do, but I don't know how much longer. I mean, there's some things are starting to open back up. The economy is going to be jacked up a little bit for a while. I don't know how long we're going to be able to go back to normal. Is there going to be a second wave? I don't know. There's a lot of different possibilities, I think.
In the movie that's going to be made about these days,
yeah,
this will be the part of the movie where people will be yelling at the screen, don't be stupid. You know, don't go inside. You know, don't go outside.
That's why, like, we're still, that's why we're still, like, not going out to eat at, like, a dine-in restaurant, and we're doing curbside pickup at HEB, which is pretty easy to do, as it turns out. We've been able to figure that out, make that work for us. We've gotten some other stuff delivered to the house whenever we've been able to do it. And, you know, we've done with what works for us. But, you know, anytime you're having a rough day, feel free to reach out to me. Let's get on the phone and let's talk through it, because I have those rough days, and sometimes I've had some good days during the pandemic, and I've tried to make that happen, like make those good days as much as possible. And I'll tell you what, you know, doing fun videos at the house has gotten me through some days. watching some of these shows like we talked about on this very podcast has been also very, very nice. And going on a walk, I know you like to go bike riding, so those are great things too for people to look at, and I've found some good stories in it too.
I found some of the LSU games from last season on YouTube.
Yes.
You know, the Bama game,
yeah.
The Clemson game, the Oklahoma game, the Georgia game.
Yeah.
And anytime I need a pick me up, mm-hmm. I'll watch some of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't that long ago, and it's still something you can utilize to get back to. That's what's great. You can still find some of those games that are archived on YouTube and be able to access them. So that's kind of cool. I found games from like when I was a kid. I remember watching Cowboy games with Emmitt Smith against the New York Giants, that where he would have like these great huge breakout performances that I've been able to find on YouTube. So that's great.
It's strange watching the really old games because there's like no information on the screen.
Yeah,
you know, you see football, like there's no score.
Yeah,
like way back in the day, you know, you had to wait until they went to commercial or listen to them mention the score.
Yeah. Yeah, a much different world. I mean, even now, if something was stuck on your screen of your TV, you could just pull up your phone and you could get the game on your phone, or you could get the score and the play-by-play, like the play-for-play of what's happening in the game on your phone. Well, Jazz One, I want to thank you, sir, and hang in there. Everybody hang in there. And we'll always put the intent for the best out there every day in our thoughts. And this is episode 125 of the Thunder Pop Podcast. Thank you, Jazz.
No problem. Enjoy it, man.
Always the same here. Everybody out there, have a good day, hour, second, millisecond. Peace.
Okay, I lied. Thunderpop! 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 Oh, Thunderpop!
Come on! See you later! Huh? Beat it! Hit the bricks! Hit the bricks!
And Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks production.